Hello, Jay.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Mike.
Oh. Hi, Sean.
All right.
Oh. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
All right. Looks like everybody's here. Sandy, are you on? I don't see your name in the sidebar.
Yes, I am, Jason.
Oh, there you are. Thank you. All right, we're all here, so we'll call the meeting to order. The work session, I guess I'll say. One of the nice, since I see everybody's name on here, you don't have to announce your name anymore because the transcription will show your name as you're speaking, which is a nice feature of the transcription side of things. Just a couple high-level things that, you know, I guess I've got to go over, and, you know, from there we can see what else we want to talk about. Elevator work has been started. I've been trying to farm out the emails as quick as I get them. The asbestos abatement has begun. That should be done hopefully by the end of the week, we're thinking. And then the target timeline for the elevator is roughly 2.5 to 3 months. So we've got a storage container on site for any of the product and materials that they need. And Tracy has been doing a great job orchestrating all of that. And the car for the elevator should be in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So once that's in, that would be essentially the final piece of equipment that we need. At some point, you know, I guess as board members, if we want to have a discussion regarding dog control, I've reached out to Hamburg. They're willing to support us and back us up whenever needed. But in case you know, I reached out to all of you, and in case I missed any gaps of information, the dog control vehicle was taken to an auto yard in Springville, which is under work, being towed due to the accident. And at least as of right now, it looks like it's a total loss, partially due to the age of the vehicle. It's a 2011 Ford van. But it looks like it's going to be a total loss. And then the other vehicle, motor vehicle that was involved in the accident, was also a 2011, which is likely also going to be deemed as a loss. So have not received any kind of a police report. Don't have any further information at this stage of the game, but I have been in contact with the insurance agent, the last time being yesterday. And they just asked that we kindly make sure that we have all of the equipment that we need out of there, because once they deem it as a totaled vehicle, obviously it will no longer be ours. So that's the update on the dog control vehicle. I'll report it at the meeting tonight. Boys and Girls Club tonight, they sold over 1,200 chicken dinners, which is huge. They had literally a few leftovers, and Bobby ended up taking those over to the troopers and to the TOPS employees. So he said to support the frontline workers that help us out in our community. But the proceeds that were raised from there will help out the club. And then also he's going to purchase some gift cards, and he's going to go through his process and make contributions to families in need in our community. So that's a nice gesture from them, and they certainly moved a lot of product today. What else I have for you? You probably saw the email. The sales tax remittance, and it was confirmed by Association of Erie County Government meeting email today. The current transfer for sales tax receipts is showing a negative. It's gone down 23.14% below the corresponding 2019 amount, and our current year-to-date receipts are running approximately 2.06% below the same time as last year. So that is, I guess what I'll say, that's almost in line with what was forecasted, and depending on how long these pause orders stay in effect will determine how much longer we endure this. So that's our lost sales tax revenue. I have actually, myself and the other supervisors that have been doing press releases, we have another one tomorrow. We're going to, myself, John Tobia from North Collins, and Brian Culpo from Amherst, we'll be on a call again with Channel 4, Channel 2, Channel 7, WBEN, and continuing to push the federal government for some potential aid. Right now, the next phase of aid does not look, at least as of today's conversation, does not look favorable. There's discussion that they're not even possibly going to convene due to fears of contamination due to the COVID virus. So that could affect a lot of things if there's not a session that comes up soon. I think I sent it out to all of you. If I didn't, I truly apologize. I may have seen it on the TV with the governor's order or daily press conference. The phased reopening of business, I'll report on this a little bit in the beginning of the meeting, or am I reporting the meeting, is the phased reopening of businesses is phase one, which will be construction, manufacturing, wholesale supply chain, and select retail, which will only be curbside. It will not be inside store, going inside the store. Phase two is professional services, finance and insurance, retail, administrative support, real estate, and rental and leasing. Phase three is going to be restaurant and food services, followed by hotels and accommodations. So that kind of starts to, if you will, lay the groundwork of what our summer is going to be like. And then phase four is going to be arts, entertainment, recreation, and education. So that is all pushed off to the tail end. You probably see more and more events are being canceled. And there is an ask out to the state, John Maggiore. He's one of the representatives from the state under Governor Cuomo. We've asked about the health and beauty, when that will be allowed. Obviously, a lot of people are looking to get some haircuts and that sort of thing. And we're thinking it's somewhere between phase three and phase four. However, Empire State Development has not come back to the table stating when that falls in line. So as soon as I have some information there, I will let you know. Court offices do not open until June 1st. So everything there is currently still, if you will, paused in the court offices. Still no updates from the state there. A little bit of good news, Comp Alliance, we have our comp insurance through. There's kind of two pieces of good news here. They provided the town with the paper face masks to comply with the governor's orders. We received a starter 25 pack, and they're trying to get out more as they receive them to try to keep that that stream of supplies coming into the municipalities all across the state. So that was one nice thing. And then also for the Comp Alliance, that looks like that the town of Boston will, like many other towns, will be receiving a check from them again, like we did last year, due to their performance. We'll see what happens going forward. Markets being the way it is, but the good news is we're getting a little bit of money back from them. One thing I wanted to discuss at the board meeting, I guess so it's on record formally, the Bread of Life outreach, we have not turned, at least the past few years, we have not partnered with them or directed any funds towards their way. But I do have a letter from Pat Toman from the Bread of Life Outreach Center. They help approximately 75 families in our town. They're essentially looking to see if we would be interested in supporting them or providing any financial assistance to them. Something that, we can certainly discuss. Obviously we have to be careful with these types of things. We can't just spend taxpayer money, but that's something if the board is interested, then maybe Sean and I can take a look at what our options are and how we can, move forward on something like that. But again, they do help a lot of families in our town, and Bread of Life Outreach just received a $100,000 CDBG grant for their pretty expansion of one of their facilities to again continue to help us, the residents in our area. Last but not least, everybody should have received a copy of the AUD. The AUD has officially been filed, received, sent out to our insurance companies. Just like the past couple of years, we've got all your footnotes and all the information in there. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Holly or myself. So that is on file. And the last thing I have for the board, real quick, is our MS4 annual audit. Or annual report, I'm sorry. The MS4 report should be done by the end of the month, so that can then be filed with the state and then uploaded to the town website as required. So that's all I have. I don't know if there's anything else anybody else has, but feel free to take the floor. Anyone?
Hey, Jason, this is Rich. I just wanted you to know that I made contact, as I told you before, with National Grid on the power line, and they are now on the power line below Pin Oak, removing and replacing and putting in new culverts down there. They have this end of the power line closed off, and they're working on the culverts up there.
Wow, that's great. I mean, I know it's taken a little while. That was, gosh, I'd have to look at my email. A couple of years ago when you and I originally discussed this, when they're flying overhead with the helicopters, and I told them, no, you need boots on ground. You need to take a look at these areas. It is one of the big priorities, and it's the last numbers I heard is like a $2.6 million project for the rehabilitation for some of those culverts and properly fixing some of that infrastructure, which...
Yeah, I met with a guy that flies across that we've seen flying across, and I met him on the ground and showed him below Pin Oak where some of the culverts were completely covered, and he couldn't even see them and knew where they were from flying across, and they're got trucks up there working on that right now, so that's good news.
All right, well, I don't hear anything else. The two other things, I guess we can talk about it now, is, you know, I sent out the email, and it's just one of those tough conversations that us board members get to deal with every so often, is our festivities for the year. Memorial Day, I can tell you, pretty much looks like it's not going to happen. I do not see or predict the governor opening things up on the 15th. It is what it is. The pause order has extended through the end of the month and is looking at going into June. I just saw it wasn't even brought up on my state call, which kind of was surprising, but they're stating that the state parks, any existing reservations will be held onto, but any new ones, they're not making additional reservations for state parks or other gatherings. And again, based off of the phased approach, phase 1 through 4, as we're all seeing, many festivities are being canceled. And again, it's a tough call. I understand both sides of the argument. I won't go down that and open up that Pandora's box right now. But the right move that a lot of people are making is that they're canceling their events. On that note, the one thing I want, if you haven't seen it on Facebook, I guess I'll just clear the air now of it. Michelle Flattery responded in regards to the Bob McDonald car cruise, saying that the town had canceled all the events. That is not what was said to her. This is why I put things in email, because I don't want to ever have it taken out of context. But what I state is based off of the state calls that it does not look favorable for events this year, and that, you know, we should know more by the 15th, and, you know, I will provide more information. And then I think it's less than 24 hours later, that email goes out and stated that the town canceled it. Not the case, and I have all the supporting documentation to verify that, but just so you all know, that was not the initial conversation, and that was what the true conversation was in regards to the car cruise. And again, many municipalities, they're canceling 4th of July, summer concert series, all these things, just because we cannot ensure social distancing. So again, it's a tough conversation to have. Obviously, we want to enjoy our summers, but on the flip side of the coin, if you haven't heard in the media, one of the big underlying concerns, whether you're an employer, whether you're a municipality, et cetera, is the potential for frivolous lawsuits that they, you know, Joe Smith was at the event on such and such a date. They feel that that's where they received the virus, you know, contracted the virus from, and we didn't do enough to ensure the public safety. Is there liability involved? It's been covered on local media. It's been covered on NPR. There's been a few newspaper articles. And again, it's just the difficult and challenging times we're in. Obviously, I am just one voice out of five. But anyway, my two cents is that I think we're going to be looking at following suit with other municipalities and likely canceling our events. I don't like it more than anybody else. But on the flip side of the coin, you know, we have... eight confirmed cases here in Boston. I'd hate to see that number go up, and If the governor changes something, so be it. Maybe we can do something else later on in, tail end of summer. I'm certainly open to that. I'm certainly about trying to raise morale and have some fun in our town instead of being dealing with the current situation we are in. It's just on the flip side of the coin, we also have to ensure public safety and follow the guidelines of the pause order. So that's my two cents. Feel free to chime in. Let me know your thoughts, ideas. This stage of the game, I'm open to anything.
Jason, one thing I'll put out is I really think that we should be looking at, ways that we can do some things and live within the boundaries of the directives that have been set forth. And, that's just my opinion on it.
No, I agree. It's the same way that restaurants and small businesses are being creative. I agree. I'm not against that at all. And again, I'm open to ideas, so feel free to send over an email, give me a call, or obviously because we're all board members, open meetings law, anytime more than three is convened, it's subject to the open meetings law, but two of us can have conversations, and then you can technically go and have a conversation with somebody else, that sort of scenario. But I'm open to ideas. And I know Jay's on here. Jay, I'll certainly acknowledge, and I apologize, the computer I use at home does not have a camera. I did hear you last week, so I want to acknowledge the fact that, yes, I heard you, but the computer I have does not have a camera that I'm staring at. Luckily, 10 years later, the computer still works well. So, again, Memorial Day, one of the ideas that came out, I sent it out to all of you, it was mayor of Depew, I believe it was off the top of my head. I don't have it right in front of me. It's on my desk at the office. They had asked that local parishes chime their church bells if they have them. Another option was to have the local emergency services, fire departments, emergency squads, and or police, fire up their sirens. And a lot of municipalities really liked that idea. So that seems to kind of be gaining some traction for Memorial Day. I know there's been a couple other ideas. It's not that far away. As always, anything I can do to help out, if somebody has an idea, wants to take the ball and run with it, give me a shout, let me know, and we'll do our best to make it happen. So,
is there anything that could be done outside? It makes it easier to maintain the 6-foot distance, the social separation. Are there any options along those lines?
The thin one. I would have to pull up the exact governor's order. I believe it was like 2023 or maybe 2025 off the top of my head. But it's the one that just gatherings of people. So social distancing was a component, 6 feet social distancing. And we are still under the pause order of no more than 10 people in a gathering. And gatherings are, they can be anything.
Yeah.
And the only quote-unquote gatherings that are deemed as permissible to exceed 10 people are, let me grab my notebook here. This was a couple days ago from my state call, because a lot of us elected officials have been asking this question for clarification. And of course, this is not me, this is Empire State Development, but Empire State Development is coming back and stating that essential services are essentially for health/medical or for food.
Okay.
So when we're looking at essential services, that's what they're looking for, which is why grocery stores, Walmart, etc. are staying open. I could not answer, even begin to answer, what, how or why Home Depot or Lowe's is staying open, other than the fact that they can be supportive in maintaining certain critical infrastructure. That's a whole other, truly, it's a whole other side conversation. And believe you me, on my state calls, that has been gone over with a fine-tooth comb and beat up left and right. We still don't have answers from the state. And again, the state is ESD, Empire State Development. I apologize for using the acronym. I'm just so used to using it. But that's what we're looking at. So to answer your question, Jay, that's a long-winded answer, but let's say I know for Flag Day, the Scouts had looked at, unfortunately canceled Flag Day celebration. If you wanted to do something for Flag Day, theoretically you could. Let's say if you had a leader or maybe another distinguished person there and maybe a scout, three of you congregating together, wearing a mask, and maybe doing a live stream and, doing music in the background, that's fine. There's a very strong underlying argument, I'll say, regarding gatherings, and this is it's getting ugly. I just say what it is, but essentially, what this is being based off of is essentially the emergency order number 5, I believe it was, or 8. I apologize, I don't have these right in front of me, but I think it was 5 or 8. It's out; they're all out on the state website. But the big one was for congregation for religious ceremonies or, just to go to church. Those were not deemed as essential. I know it's a hot button. It is what it is. I can tell you that certain parishes, nothing locally here in our town, but certain parishes have said, well, we're going to stream it over the air, an FM or AM radio station, and we'll have people sit in their cars and those have been, truthfully, they've been broken up, and they've gotten a little bit on the ugly side, and it's because that you are having more than 10 people gather. Even though they're in their vehicles, it's what's happening. Not my rules. I'm just stating what's going out there, and yes, it has been having a lot of resistance and a lot of pushback, and the current feedback coming from Empire State Development is that it's deemed as not essential. Whether we agree with it or not, it is what, the environment that we're in right now. Again, that's why I say, let's be creative. Let's think outside the box.
I still have my Easter egg hunt that's on pause. I have not canceled it, or am I going to until the last minute, but I'm not going to put any of our children in town at risk or anything else until this thing lifts out to the point where I'm hoping, after being cooped up for 2 to 3 months with these kids and not going to school and be cooped up with their parents and everything else, that they'd love to run around those playgrounds out there and do whatever they're going to do. But I'm not doing anything or anything else until it's opened up safe enough and that the town board and everybody else deems that it's safe enough for those kids to be out there.
Hi, this is Allie. I was just wanting to throw out the idea, what if all the board members were open to the idea of recording a video and making a short little service for video for Memorial Day? Just an idea.
I love that idea. That's really cute. I think that kind of puts a personal touch to, seeing us and putting a face to the name kind of thing.
I would be up for that for sure.
Sounds good. Well, let's add it to our list. We'll make it happen. So just a quick time check. So we got about 3 minutes before our board meeting. Anything else anybody else has or any questions? One other quick update is I have been almost relentless with Cintas. We may need to look at a different vendor. Cintas is still waiting on the cloth masks that I said I was trying to procure for our town. Originally, we were told that we'd get them the week right after. Well, due to logistics and high demand, we do not have those still. Just an update there. Again, so what I've been doing is making sure that the cloth or the paper masks that were provided by Erie County Emergency Services are in supply for all the departments. I still have, I think, a little over 200 left right now, the last time I checked the box. And, I'll be placing another ticket into the DLAN system to make sure we have more than enough. But as soon as those cloth masks come in, I'll make sure everybody gets them. And I think I'm going to kind of set a stop date on it, where if Cintas doesn't deliver to them to us within the next probably 7 to 10 business days, I'm just going to start looking at other sources to procure masks. So if anybody else has a lead on cloth masks. We need about, we have to provide 2 per employee. So my initial order was for 100. So that way we'd have enough for 2 for every employee appointed and otherwise, and then all of us elected officials. So anybody that is part of the town would have a cloth mask. So we don't have to, I guess I'll say, continue to throw out paper ones and fill up the environment with a bunch of masks. And then we'll have the paper masks for vendors. I know we're getting down the wire for 7:30 for the board meeting, but I will say that we are trying to start stacking up and holding on to PPE from hand sanitizer to face masks, et cetera, just because there is the discussion of obviously the wave 2, which is what we're seeing in Asia and also in Europe right now. It's not big rate at the moment, but we are certainly seeing a second wave of COVID going around there. So that is another phase that we have to kind of keep our eyes to the horizon on as we start to consider opening things back, or even if we do open things back up, of things don't go in the opposite direction. So, all right. Anybody doesn't have anything else, I will hit the record button. I'll pause for a moment, but if nothing else, I'll hit the record button. We'll go into our board meeting. All right, well, I'll start off the board meeting. Sandy, you all set?
Yes, I am.
This conference is no longer being recorded. This conference will now be recorded.
All right, so I will call the meeting to order.
Councilwoman Selby?
Present.
Councilman Caratini?
Present.
Supervisor Keating?
Present.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Present.
Councilwoman Martin?
Present.
Supervisor Keating, please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, Jay, for the flag.
Thank you, Jay. That's a good Boy Scout. All right. I believe in
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have no other preliminary matters for tonight, so we'll move on to regular business. If everybody had a chance to take a look at the minutes, one look check. Do you mind taking the minutes?
Not a problem. I had a moment to review the minutes from April 15th, 2020. I make a motion that we adopt the minutes from April 14th, 2020.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Caratini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Item number 2 under regular business is the consideration of all fund bills. Councilman Caratini, do you mind taking those?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I've had a lot of time to review the bills, and I make a motion that we pay the bills at $396,260.17.
Round them out? Check that amount?
Yeah.
I second.
No. Can I make a correction that the amount is $63,752.20? Is that correct?
Yes, that should be correct.
$396,260.17.
I think that's last meeting's.
Oh, I'm sorry. I told you I dropped the packet on the way out today because of the asbestos in the, you're right. I'm so sorry. You're right. Good catch, Kathy. I was looking at the wrong total. It's $63,752.20. I make a motion that we pay these bills.
I'll second that.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, under correspondence tonight, item number 3, we have 5 pieces of correspondence that will all be received and filed with the town. We have the town's annual update document, also referred to sometimes as the AUD, for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2019. That's been received and filed. Item number 2 that we have for correspondence is the notification from the Zoning Board of Appeal for the ZBA. For the cancellation of the May 7th, 2020 meeting due to the current coronavirus. That's been received and filed. The third piece of correspondence is a letter of resignation from our Conservation Advisory Council from the chairman, Vince Mangino. That has been received and filed. Item number 4 is another letter of resignation from our Conservation Advisory Council, member Renee Sibersky. That's been received and filed. And the 5th item is the Patch and Volunteer Fire Company 990 form. And that has also been received and filed. So we'll move on to new business. Item number 4. And that first item we have is requests from the floor. So I will open up the floor.
Jay Jackson, 7964 Back Creek Road. I wanted to confirm that DeKalb Recht and I have discussed, and we will not be having Flag Day. First time I believe it's only the second time he's needed to cancel. The first one was due to thunder, lightning and thunder. I wanted to say I'm glad to provide a reminder of our great country to each of these meetings. I also wanted to add, I think it's a great idea to support the Bread of Life organization. Lois and I visited there, and I believe we spoke to the chairwoman, and she described it that although they reside in Colden, the majority of the folks that they serve are in Boston. You might want to try confirming that with her. And finally, I wanted to say I'm glad to see everyone's face. I don't know if anyone else noticed, but for the brief time that the go-to meeting is presented on their replay site, mine was the only mug in there. I'm glad to have some other folks able to take a look. And you can really have some fun with this stuff. I was at a meeting, similar kind of a setup, and all of a sudden, one of the people in the meeting said, "Jay, I think someone has been at your house and they just stole a guitar." My son had just walked across behind me, grabbed his bass guitar, and walked out. I had no idea any of that was going on. Kathy, say hello to your husband. Yeah, he just walked in and out a couple of times. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments? I'll pause for another moment and give you the opportunity. Okay, I guess no other further comment. And Jay, I will confirm that is a true statement regarding the Boston residents. The Bread of Life does an amazing job helping many families in our community. You know, it's not just a few, it's as many. And I sigh because I have a feeling it's going to get worse before it gets better. So, we're all in this together. So we'll figure that out. And thank you for that feedback. And the board will certainly take that to heart as we move forward on looking into this for the Bread of Life. All right. Item number 2 under new business tonight. We've got a couple, 2 and 3, or a couple of applications. Item number 2 is an application for Mike. Balagamba, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, for a second accessory building located at 8899 Hickory Meadows. Councilwoman Martin, you mind taking that one?
Thank you, Supervisor. We received an application with the code enforcement officer for Mr. Balagamba to build a second accessory building, which Bill Ferguson sees no objection in granting, so I make a motion to accept his request.
I'll second that.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Tartakini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, the third item we have under new business is the application from for Robert McLeod Jr. for a second accessory building located at 7136. Councilwoman Lukacik, do you mind taking that one?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. We received a letter for an additional structure at 7136 Boston Crossroad. It would remain as a standalone workshop. I haven't received, other than the information that the applicant provided, I'm not sure what the result would be from the zoning. I don't see an issue with it, but I would prefer that our code officer would look into this first, Mr. Ferguson, before we make a judgment. Does that make sense?
No.
Sorry, I was actually just trying to unmute my computer here. So Mr. Ferguson's letter, you should have had a letter on there, says, and it reads as follows. It says, this department has no objection to granting Mr. McLeod a second accessory building for storage, both building size and location required requirements of the Boston Zoning Code. Is that in your packet?
It is. I had to scroll again.
Okay. No problem. Yep. So we do have this information.
I make a motion that we accept the application from Mr. McLeod for the second accessory building for storage.
I will second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Tartakini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, we have no other old business tonight, so we'll move on to our reports and presentations. Let's start with the town clerk. Madam Clerk, go ahead.
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I just wanted to report that the town and county tax reminder notices have been sent out. That is for any taxpayer that has either paid a partial payment or has not paid their town and county taxes at this point. So the tax payments may be mailed to the town hall, or please utilize the drop box located to the left of the front door. And please call the town clerk's office if you have any questions regarding that. I wanted to thank Vince Mangino and Renee Sapersky for their service to the CAC. I've had opportunities to talk to them and work with them, and they will be most certainly missed. They've brought a great deal of inspiration to the CAC. And also, I have received a letter from Barbara Moore. I will read that. It says, Dear Madam Clerk and all, it is with great gratitude that I write to report that the Town of Boston Connect Life Blood Drive had a maximum number of donors and collected 16 units of whole blood on March 20th. With complete support from Supervisor Keating, Councilman Tartakini, and Town Clerk Finland, we moved the drive to a different location in order to comply with county regulations. The driver is held in the Connect Life mobile unit in the parking lot of the Patchen Volunteer Fire Company. Thanks to the superlative cooperation with and community spirit exhibited by Patchen Chief Brandon Bender and all of the fire company, we were able to have necessary access to the building and keep as close as possible to the social distancing recommendations. In true Boston fashion, the need arose with was advised and the drive booked up in record time. We will try to extend the hours for the next drive to accommodate all who wish to give. In addition, many thanks to all who donated non-perishables in the town hall collection boxes. I was able to deliver the much needed goods to the Response to Love Center just last week, and they were touched by the generosity of the citizens who with the sponsoring organization, Equine Collaborative International, and a very generous boost from our own town clerk, created quite a haul to be used in producing the 200 plus meals they send out daily. She signed a thank you, stay safe, be well, God bless and keep you forevermore. Connect Life sponsor, Equine Collaborative Board VP, but mostly Boston citizen. And that is all I have. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Councilwoman Norton.
Thank you, Supervisor. I also was very saddened to hear of Vince Mangino and Renee Sapersky's resignations from the Conservation Advisory Council. My plea is this. They've laid down really great groundwork with new events to the town, and we've had great turnouts for our events, and it would be a shame to see the council not be able to go on with these events. So anybody out there interested in joining and taking the helm of this council would be greatly appreciated. Anybody out there that has conservation or environmental beliefs and strengths, you'd be most welcome to join. Obviously, after we can start seeing each other again. that's all I have. Thanks.
Yeah, Kelly, I will ask Allison to go ahead and post, to seek volunteers on the town Facebook page, the CAC Facebook page, and also the town webpage. So, Councilwoman Lubchick, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I have nothing to report other than I have a camera, my laptop, but it's not sensed by anything, and I don't know why. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Councilman Cardichini, go ahead.
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I just wanted to acknowledge the hard work of the townspeople that supported the Boys and Girls fundraiser today with the chicken barbecue. Pretty amazing, 1,200 meals. It's a testament to the solid fabric we have here. I just wanted to thank everybody for the support there, and also mention that the Feed More Western New York event that we all participated in last week. It was great to be together and do something and give something back. We lucked out with the weather, and I think I know there were some people that were disappointed they didn't know about the event. I'm all ears on how to get as many people as we can through that might have a need. But I just wanted to say to all the fellow board members and the volunteers that came out today, it was really a pleasure to. We worked together, we served the community a little bit, we maintained our social distance, and the guidelines, and really had a nice afternoon. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what, community's all about. So that's all I have tonight.
Thanks very much. Councilwoman Zoe, go ahead.
Thanks, Supervisor. I want to thank the service for the CAC
Vince and Renee, thanks for their time. They're going to really be missed, and hopefully we can find somebody to help out in that area. It's always tough to get volunteers. It's never an easy thing. I want to thank Jason for Supervisor Keating for inviting me to also help out with the Feed More of Western New York last week. It was a great event. I was very honored to be part of that, and I thank you for inviting all of us, and I thought it was a very worthwhile program. I wish there would have been more people taking advantage of it, but still, it is nice to be out there. So that's all I have.
All right, thanks very much. And Highway Superintendent, are you on the call? No reply, I will assume no. So I guess I'll move into my report. It's got a couple of things. I know the papers, listen to our work session, but I guess I'll pick up where Councilwoman Selby left off. Yes, the event with Feed More Western New York, they partnered with the town, and we served 111 families with nutritious meals. I agree. I wish there was more that more outreach we could have done. We sent out the press release to all local media outlets. We did have some residents as well call my office and ask, well, how come we didn't publicize it? I said, well, it was on Channel 4 News and the day before, and we posted through social media. But that's one of the tricky spots in our town, is we don't have a great way to reach everyone, unfortunately. So I guess some takeaways that I personally learned is, I think that for the next event, and yes, we are hoping that there will be another event with Feed More Western New York, is we'll probably utilize our Code Red notification system. I've spoken with them to make sure that it would be permissible to use it for that type of service. So anyone that has subscribed to Code Red, they will receive that notification, as well as that reverse 911 dialer. If they have not subscribed, I certainly encourage people to do so. And then also, we're going to try to do a little bit different type of outreach. We also identified some families that, right, wrong, or indifferent, they did not want to attend the event because they didn't want to come out and essentially, I guess I'll say, self-identify. Kind of breaks my heart hearing something like that. So I think what I'm going to try to do, I've been working with Feed More on this, is I think we're going to try to find a way that we can collect names or people can call, even if I have to use my office as a point of contact, do some outreach and identify these families. And if necessary, again, with the volunteers, we'll try to safely deliver them the prepackaged nutritious meals and deliver them in a very similar fashion to a Meals on Wheels delivers the nutritious food to people's homes. So we'll follow all the same guidelines, make sure everything is safe, of course, with all the pause order that's in effect. But that was one of the big takeaways. And it was a great event overall. And I certainly thank all the board members, our town clerk, for volunteering, the Boston Lions who came out. We had representatives from our local Boys and Girls Club. It was just a great event, and I can't thank everybody enough for making that happen. So we'll have another event, and as soon as that date comes up, I'll let everybody know. Just an update, one update that I do have regarding National Fuel for the residents over on Holiday. Motor vehicle accident happened a few months ago now. And anyway, there's barricades over in that area to protect that well. And anyway, National Fuel is going to be looking at updating that entire area. I don't have the specifics yet from National Fuel, but that well will be updated, and as will some additional lines. Once we have more information, I'll be sure to pass that along, but just wanted to kind of make that known to the public that that it was heard that they were wondering what's going on. Why are all those barriers still there? They're coming down. It's just a matter of, again, with our pandemic and social distancing, being able to get the crews on site to make that repair safely. Obviously, safely because of natural gas, but also safely because of social distancing and the amount of people that actually can be on site to fix that. So that is an update there. Councilman Cardichini certainly hit the nail on the head with the Boys and Girls Club event tonight. I mean, over 1,200 people. That's amazing. That was another amazing event, and the Boys and Girls Club will take some of those proceeds and be purchasing gift cards and giving back to our community for some of the families that have been identified as needing some help in our current pandemic and world that we're all living in. So Boys and Girls Club has been a great partner there. Let's see here. The Hillcroft Bridge was another point I wanted to touch on. Legislator Mills, I know he's been a big proponent of this project. I couldn't get him on the call tonight. I'm hoping to have him on at another point to just give some of his personal updates. But the Hillcroft Bridge is hopefully going to be completed by October of this year. Residents living in the area probably have already seen quite a bit of construction going on in regards to the utilities with gas, with electricity, and also with cable, fiber optics specifically. They've taken down a few trees that were in the right of way, and that's something that we'll be seeing. You know, they'll carry on again. It's all going to be based off of the current governor's orders, but the target end date is October of this year, and the Hillcroft Bridge will finally be replaced. Let's see here. We've got. I have a meeting. I'll touch base on taxes. I brought this up in a work session. I've been in the media. There's a core group of us supervisors and mayors across Erie County that have been kind of raising the flag to the federal government regarding multiple streams of revenue lost to municipalities. Coming out of the Erie County Comptroller's office, those projections were pretty accurate. But right now, the current transfer rate for taxes is 23.14% below the corresponding 2019 amount. And then where year-to-date receipts were running about 2.06% below this at the same time of last year. Again, sales tax is just one component of the equation here, but sales tax as a whole makes up approximately 20% of the money that the town takes in that offsets. Property taxes. Of course, there's aid and incentives for municipalities. There's extreme winter recovery and CHIPS. We don't have numbers on that yet, but certainly the governor put his provision in his budget this year to reassess the budget, which, again, I understand his position there. But we will be having a meeting with Congressman Reed tomorrow and also doing a conference again tomorrow with other elected officials to continue to try to push for some additional funding for local government. And last but not least, it was discussed at the work session, so the media has already heard this, but the phases of reopening, just to kind of put this on record, phase one right now, according to the governor's office, will be what's going to be allowed as reopening will be construction, manufacturing, and wholesale supply chain, which will be then also tied into select retail and curbside pickup. Phase two will be professional services, finance and insurance, retail, administrative support, and then real estate and rental leasing. And then phase three will be restaurants and food services, hotels and accommodations. And then finally, phase four will be arts, entertainment, recreation, and education. That's our current rollout. The county executive spoke a little bit to that on today's press conference, and we'll see where the world heads as we continue to move forward. But that is all I have for my reports. With nothing else, I will make a motion to end the meeting.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Tartakini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good to see you, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
This conference is no longer being recorded.